Hallelujah. Wonderful Jesus. Gracious Heavenly Father, O Thou great Lord God Almighty, we thank You, Lord, for today. Another day, Lord, we can breathe life. Life that You've given us, O Lord, to live. Alive in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We thank You, Father, that this day is set aside that we can come together and meet together, Lord, at Your feet, and to learn of You. There is always an appointed time for everything, Lord. A time for war, a time for peace, a time to sow, a time to harvest, and a time to be born, and a time to die. And so it is, O Lord, You have set an appointed time for us together. And that we need to be grateful and thankful, Father, that we can get at Your feet. To know that Thou art our Heavenly Father, the Creator of heavens and You, one who loves us, one who has given His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a propitiation for our sin, that we might be reconciled back to You, Father. Lost in sins, walking in this world of darkness, Lord, and yet You seek us out. Because we are lost sheep, Lord, whether it be we are on a mountain, on a valley, or in a cave somewhere, bleeding and crying away because we could not find our way home. And the great shepherd came along, walking all over the mountainside and valley, seeking out every cave to find that one lost lamb. And we are that lost lamb. Every one of us have gone our own way. And You find us worthy, Lord. And You came seeking for us. And You heal our broken heart. You set free the fetters of change that bind us to this world. And You carry us in Your loving arms. Always, Father, that we should remember Your great love and to be obedient as a child should because of the love of the Father. Therefore, Lord, help us to look at ourselves and in the light of Your word, the mirror of Your word, Lord, and examine ourselves, Father, and I'll stand before You. Especially in this last day when we see a lot of things going on now in the last day where things are getting more evil, more wicked, and sins more abound. But we know that Your grace did much more abundantly, O Father, in the life of Your believer, Your children, O Father. And surely, O Lord, You will take Your rod and You will chastise us, Father, with Your word, that we might conform to Your word and to the image of Your only begotten Son. That's what you have predestined us unto, O Father. Therefore, Lord, help us in these last days now. We know there is but a short time for the evil one to do all his dirty work. And help us, O Lord, to be strong as great warriors, Father. Not to be deceived, O Lord, by the things of this world, by the cunning craftiness of man. And all those preachers out there, Lord, twisting and turning the word of God, making the word of God no effect because of their traditions and opinions. But when it comes to the word of life, Father, help us to stay true to it. Help us, O Lord, to understand it. For one of these days, Lord, we do not know if Singapore will be still having this privilege, Lord. And we ask for Your grace, O Lord, to help us. Bless us now, Lord, as we approach Thy word, because we ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated.
Go to the book of Genesis, and we are still on the subject of the tree of the serpent. And as I said, before we can ever follow and look at the tree, we need to know more about that seed and about that serpent. A couple of years ago, a brother sent me a recording. He sent me a thumb drive with some recording of some Bible study a brother had with several people in his home, probably about five or six people. And this brother, well, he's a businessman, but he loved the Word of God and he teach. Well, he's said to be a believer of the message, but he said that Cain came from another, you know, Adam had another wife, had another by another woman, you know, and so kind of strange. A lot of people believe in different things. And our denomination believe that Cain was actually a son of Adam, and yet he just that was a rascal, that's all. But we know that if you follow genetic laws, we know that Cain could not be from Adam. And the Bible tells us all this in hidden mysteries here and there. And yet people do not want to look at it. Even the Bible said that Enoch was the seventh from Adam. If you were to count Cain, you cannot be seven. You will have to be eight, obviously. So, you know, that's a very, very strange thing that people have an opinion looking at the Word of God and not looking rightly. And to this day, the serpent seed doctrine is not a welcome doctrine by many Christians, because to many it's just so filthy. Alright, in our last lesson we finished off with the chapter Genesis chapter 4, where we look at Cain's offering. I do not remember whether I have asked you this question. Did Cain have a revelation? Can serpent seed have revelation? Somebody said, you know, when I discussed the minister, they said, well, generally, as I said, people in end time message say, no, the serpent seed cannot have revelation. And you know, you always talk about mystery, and if you don't understand mystery, they say that you don't have revelation. And when they try to prove something, when there's nothing in the scripture to prove it, they will tell you it's a revelation, Brother God. You know what I'm saying? You see, just that you put your hand in the wall and say, you are here. I'm saying, you are here. Then you think that I'm kind of stupid, isn't it? We will be stupid, right? But I'll tell you that you are here. And if since you don't believe it, then you don't have revelation. It's a revelation to me that you are actually here. You're not there. And all people have all kinds of strange arguments. And we know that when you talk about revelation, it's something that is revealed. But it's whether you can accept it or not, because you cannot see. And I always say this, you do not need to have a revelation when you read Acts 2:38. Now on the day of Pentecost, when the people ask, when they're pricking their heart, they ask the apostles, men, what must we do to be saved? And what did Peter say? Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. These 3,000 people went to water. None of them would say, Peter, wait a minute, I need the revelation first. Right? But the Bible says, if you know that you are a sinner, you confess your sin, accept the Lord as a Savior, you know, for the free salvation that for the salvation that He provided for you in His blood. Why is it so difficult? It's there. Cain knew what it was, but he was rebellious, not because he had no revelation. He was raised up in his father's house. Adam did this practically almost every year, we would say, or as often as he would have offered a lamb for a sacrifice to God and explained to the children. That's not what the Bible talks about. You will bring our children in the fear of the Lord. You know, we teach them what we believe, why we believe. Obviously, any child will ask you, Dad, Mom, why do you go to church? They explain to them why we go to church. And you read to them the Bible story about Jesus Christ and you explain to them. They ask, so you provide the answer. So when they grow up, they will not depart away from it. And you make them to realize that they are sinners. I don't remember how old Zoe was when she was baptized. I think it was less than around 10 years old. I can't remember now. She recognized what it was at a young age. You know. And she said, I want to be baptized. I know. Because what is real is real. It's there. See. So when we see what Cain did in offering them, when God said, well, if you have done right, I will accept you. If you have done well. But if you have not done well, but I provide you a sin offering. But you know what? He rejected that. Went out later, talked to his brother. Well, you can always read between the lines and sort of figure out what was it that made Cain so angry that he killed his brother. You know. It's always a problem. He is the older one. And he was rebellious. And he always tried to talk down to his younger brother. You know. It's always like that. And so, in a fit of anger, killed his brother. But now we go to verse 10 of chapter 4. And he said, what hast thou done? And God said to Cain, what have you done? The voice of thy brother's blood cried out unto me from the ground. And now thou art cursed from the earth which have opened up her mouth to receive your brother's blood from thy hand. That's an interesting verse here. God said, what have you done? Remember, he killed his brother, badgered him to death, clubbed him and then buried him in the ground. Well, he thinks that nobody knows, but God knows, of course. And as I said this, when you've done something wrong, it doesn't mean that God did not know. When Adam and Eve committed the sin, they hid themselves among the bush and the trees. You don't tell me that God didn't know where they were hiding. God knew where they were hiding. Huh? It's a big garden. So God one just came down walking, and God says, Adam, Adam, where are you? What he asked, Adam, Adam, where are you? Not that he didn't know where Adam was. No, he knew. He could point out and say, why are you hiding behind that particular tree? You see, when God talks like this, Adam, Adam, where are you? He wants a response from Adam. And that's the reason why God expects a response from you. You know, he doesn't give you a direct answer. He didn't come to Adam and say, Adam, why are you hiding behind the tree? You have sinned. What have you done? All these things. You know, he could have told him everything that Adam did. And what Eve did. What the serpent did. But he wanted an account from each and every one of them. He wanted a response. He wanted a reason. Why are you doing these things? Why are you hiding? Who told you you were naked and that you have to clothe yourself with some thick leaf? Remember, he told each and every one of them that he required an answer. So that's what God requires from every one of us. But you know one thing about an answer that we need to give to God? Is that every time when God asks us for an answer, we don't try to shift the blame. The Bible tells us, let our year be a year. If our year is a year, say year. If it is a name, no means no, just say no. Anything beyond that is evil, as the Bible said. So if you feel that a brother has done something to you, you go and ask the brother or that sister, this is what you have done to me. Huh? Whatever, maybe. And if the person tells you, no, I did not do it, that's the answer you get. And if you're not satisfied, you go complain to God. Simple as that. Because if the person did it to you and he said no, that means the person is a liar. That's it. Why you want to fight it out? And that's the problem with us. We're always not satisfied. And this is what's the problem with the human carnality, the flesh. We think so much about this flesh, the ego. So now, God said to him, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out. The prosperity, the descendant of Abel is no longer. And they cried out. And the earth itself speaks. Now look at the next verse, and it says, thou art cursed from the earth, which have opened her mouth to receive your brother's blood from thy hand. Thou art cursed from the earth. The earth is the land, the ground. We all came from dust. We came from the earth. We came from the dust. The earth cries out. And you are cursed from this earth. That means that there's no blessing for you anymore. The earth doesn't even accept you. Literally, huh? In our relationship to the earth. You know. That's the way in the province or in the village when somebody does something by sometimes they excommunicate. Even the church. You're cursed from the church. Out you go. Excommunication. So the earth cries out. And God said, you're cursed from this earth. And that was a terrible thing, you know. Means totally a rejector. Nature itself doesn't even want you. So to speak in that sense. When thou till the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond thou shalt be in the earth. Oh, that's the where King got a bigger shock of his life. When thou till the ground, the earth will not yield its strength because you're cursed. The earth will not respond to you. It will no longer give a strength. And next thing God said is this, a fugitive and a vagabond thou shalt be in the earth. Now, this is how, as I said, I'm very well acquainted with the book of Genesis. At least the first 16 chapter, or up to the time of the court of Israel and the 12 tribes. The mystery that hidden there, many of these things that were there, I knew it back in the 80s when I studied. When I threw all those theological books out the window. And this book became an open book because I was always very interested in the book of Genesis and the book of Revelation. And I began to see what was going on here. And I looked and, you know, listened to other ministers to try to find out whoever teach any of this? None of them. And you know when I wrote the book, really good. That man Amos from Nigeria. He talked all sorts of nonsense, twist my word, and then when I wrote this book, because what he did in Nigeria then split a lot of churches. Many of churches were confused because of what he did. And even now in the Philippines. So anyway, when I wrote the book of Religo, There will be none so blind as he who refused to see the simple things that's laid out. How many of you have read the book Really Go Here? How many of you? You didn't really do go. So what's the book all there for? Go and read it. Understand. Though I have explained it, but read it. Because in reading that, because I've laid it out in a way that you should be able to understand it clearly. As I said, when Brother Nice got the, when I we sent a book over there after it was printed, Brother Billy Joseph's church, when he was trapped in that Emos group, when he read the book, he told Brother Nice, he said, "This book is for me." Because the simplicity of understanding it, as Sister Bree used to say to me twice, she told me, "So, brother, and that's one thing about you. You have a way of putting words. You construct in such a way that people can understand it easily. And you cannot dispute about it. Because it is not scripture. I'm not writing scripture way, mysterious way. But lay out what's from scripture in a way that you can see. So what is this then? It is God said that God did not make a Cain to be a fugitive and a vagabond. God did not say, "I'll make you a fugitive and a vagabond." What causes him to be a fugitive and a vagabond? The Bible is to give you the answer. Because of the ground. Because the ground does not yield its strength. And when people come up, when they are a population of people, they want to kill you. The explanation, even Cain knew about it. And it's right there in the scripture, and people don't even look at it. Look, the next verse. Cain said unto the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." Now he realized how bad that is. I mean, he could curse any other thing. God could curse any other thing and let the earth still give his strength. They were no problem. But no. God said, "You have killed Abel, whose blood is in the ground, and the earth is not pleased with it." That is to say, in a way. I mean, if the earth would speak, then it would say that, "Why do you dirty my earth with blood? Huh? A man die, let him die. But you must spill blood." You know, when a person die, normal death, huh? There's no blood spilled. But life is in the blood, and you take life like this, and you spill the blood, and you put it all on my earth. The earth is crying out, "I'm not happy with it." And so the earth doesn't yield its strength now. And when people, population grow, you know, get bigger, and people who are farmer planting that would want to kill him. That's what he knew. He said, "My sin is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me out." Well, of course, he blamed it on God. You know, everybody blame it on God. Because every time you must understand, when you sow something, you must reap something. You sow death on the earth, you spill blood, earth will respond. Of course, God is the one who cursed it, of course. But there is always a law. Whatever you sow, you reap. Is that not true? What the Bible says, if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. You live by violence, you die by violence. That's it. You know. Because it's always a cycle. What goes around comes around. You see? That's the law. So he blamed on God, said, "Oh, you have done it." No, but God already passed the law. Unwritten law. "You have driven me out this day from the face of the earth. And from thy face I shall be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that find me shall slay me." Of course. When he said everyone, doesn't mean that every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Huh? Just the people read English. Every means every. All. No exception. But that's just a single to K, an expression like that. One for all for one. So all doesn't mean everyone, doesn't mean those people from the Celtic line. No. Remember, Are you understanding how the Bible is written? Don't be like traditional Christian. Take the Bible literally. And the Bible said, when Jesus Christ preached in the temple, all the people came to hear him. All the people, I mean, from where? From all of Israel came to hear him. Or the whole world. Obviously not the whole world. And obviously not all in Israel came to hear him in the temple. Even when Moses was up there in the mountain on Mount Sinai. Right? When he went up there and he asked Aaron to bring his, to come up and bring his, all the priests and whatever, and he, you know, Joshua rather. Transfer the authority to Joshua. Or even to Aaron. Every time when God, Moses did some kind of ordination, the tribe of Israel are 12 tribes. They are not just a few hundred people. And yet the Bible says they all saw what Moses did, and so on and so forth. Did they really see? When you are far away, when you are millions of people, you can't see it. Because in those days, there was no television. Huh? You know what I'm saying? Like today in a football stadium, right? When you are sitting up there on top, you could barely see what's in the field. And they put this big, big monitor screen every four corners of the football so you could see up close. So when you use the word in the Bible, we must understand the expression here. So now he realized, I'm going to be a fugitive because I'm going to run and people want to kill me. And the Lord said unto him, he said, everyone that find me, Cain said, everyone that find me shall kill me. Now he realized that he's in danger of death. Every farmer, every Cainite who found the land, we want to kill him. Obviously. So, and the Lord said unto him, therefore whosoever slay him, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon him, lest any finding him should kill him. Well, God says, not so. If anybody could kill you, Cain, I will take vengeance for you sevenfold. What does that mean? It was an assurance that God gave to Cain. Yes, people will want to kill you, but they will not be able to kill you so easily. I'll guarantee you. If they could, I'll take vengeance for you sevenfold. Now we have Amos, the great lead apostle, who wanted to be even now the chief thunder of the seven thunders. People have all this pride to be somebody. And he said that, you know, if anybody could kill Cain, God is going to take the man and going to take vengeance for Cain seven times. Keep on, beating him up or crushing him or whatever. Yet he would not die so easily. Wow. That kind of blew my mind away. If you are crushed the first time, you're already dead. You know what I mean? So how could he take vengeance seven times? In what sense? You see, there was sevenfold, you take vengeance sevenfold is guaranteed. God said, there is an exaggeration of words to say that nobody could be able to kill you so easily. And for that, I'll give you an assurance, Cain. I'll give you a token. The word mark is a token. I'll give you a token. You know what I'm saying? You know what a token is? A token is like a special covenant, a special kind of a promise, we will say. Token. Just like a rent check. Maybe you will say, hey, brother, I'll take you out to eat, five-star hotel, special dinner there. Okay, I'll take a rent check. You say, okay, I'll give you a rent check. It means, it's a token. A mark, a token. So God did Cain a token. So, since Cain got a promise from God, he's free, he's happy. Nothing happened on that day. He just received a token from God. And he knew that God will give his word. And that's why it takes a little time for Cain to grow. A little by little. The mark that God gave to Cain was to increase his size to protect himself. He did not become a giant. And I was the first to preach this year, so many years ago, and people today still want to fight me. Common sense will tell you what the mark of Cain was. But God did not make him into a giant all of a sudden, just like that. Because why? He need to have children. He need to have his own seed. That's why it was God's purpose to allow the serpent seed to come forth. So that Cain would have a wife and have children. But when he is all of a sudden become a giant 9 feet tall, that's a problem. How to produce children. So that's why he have a... And remember one thing. How old was Adam before he knew his wife again? After Eve died. Huh? How old was it? 105 years old, at least, if I'm not mistaken. For 100 years or so, Adam never slept with Eve. Turn right. Oh, let's see. It says, 135 years. 130 years. Chapter 5 of Genesis. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Huh? And the first son was Abel, the second son was Seth. So between the time that he had Seth and the time that he had the first time when he was Abel, 135 years. 130 years, sorry. Not 135. 135, 130. 130. 130. Always got this 5. 130 years. So by the time that he had Seth, the Bible then said he had sons and daughters. So maybe he had Seth and then he had a daughter, then son, daughter, whatever. That's when Cain took one of daughter for wife. Right? So, Cain is older than Seth. By how many years? More than maybe 100 plus years, right? You see? And so maybe he's 200 years old, or maybe less than 200 years old, 150 years, maybe 160 years old, when he took one of the sister, half-sister for wife. Or maybe early, maybe the girls, maybe 16 years old, 18 years old, came to her for wife. We do not know. The Bible did not tell us the age. But that time, Cain was still not a giant. Because population has not increased yet. So there was not necessary for Cain to be given the size to protect himself. That's just why, how do I know what I believe to be true? I remember the time when I took this message. I preached back then in 1979. In 1980, when I preached then in Brother Jackson's church. You know, I know that when you're preaching on something for the first time never be heard of, it's kind of a creepy for people to sit there and hear, is this Brother Guy going to bring up some stupid nonsense? I remember I went up there to the pulpit as a brother later on told me what actually he observed. People were hushed. I know that. And I didn't entitle the message, The Mark of Cain. I call it Watch the Mark. And then I said, I'm going to touch on the Mark of Cain, of course. the mystery of the mark of Cain. I said, God, give me the understanding, the revelation as to what God, what was the mark. And the whole congregation was quiet when they heard that, because nobody knows the answer. And some minister was whispering, and Brother Jackson was putting his head on his hand. But 50 minutes as I build up, I build this thing up. When I build it up, I know the people begin to look at each other, they know the answer now. Then I said simply that God increased his science to protect him. Brother Jackson jumped up and said, hallelujah. You know, one thing is so simple. God has to increase Cain's size so that nobody could easily kill him. Right? I said, no. The population increased. The farmer could not get their crops. They know what happened. Of course, news will leak around. They said, our great grandfather, whatever, maybe the era they are living in, he killed Cain. He killed Abel. And this God was cursed. It's cursed, and so we could not get what we want. So let's go and kill him. You know, just imagine you plant and you cannot get anything. And that's what happened to the earth today. Look at the pollution they've done to it. There's chemical that kill the earth, the soil. Huh? Logging, especially logging. And look at how the land are destroyed. One day, do you know what happened to this earth? It's getting hotter, right? Because we'll cut down the trees and wow. Just imagine, when there's no tree, what do you think God created trees for? All kinds of trees. Coconut tree, mango tree, durian tree, rambutan tree, all these trees. Not only to just provide you food, but to keep the earth stable. When the tree has produced food and the fruit drops onto the ground, it rots away. What happened? It goes right back to the ground. Right? And bacteria will act on it. And that's why I said this many times. Why do you think that you have bacteria on your body, the fungus growing on your body? Tell me why. I have the answer. Do you remember? I give you the answer. Why do people have bacteria attacking your body? And this fungus on your body? Yeah? Yeah, eczema and what, all that. Why? Because you're dying. You know that? You're dying. When the body is healthy without sin, no bacteria could attack it. No fungal would land on it. No. Body died. That's why when fruit start to drop from a tree on the ground, the fruit start to die, right? Like a bacteria will act to break it down. That's why when you die and you're buried in the ground, dig it up after 1 year and see what happened. Lo and behold, you're nothing but a skeleton. Is that right? Because bacteria will actually break down everything, and after a few more years, the bone will also break down and turn to dust. Dust thou shalt return. You have to go back, it's a cycle. You see? So, they want to kill Cain. But by the time already Cain, you know, became a giant, because already his sons, his children, maybe after 100 years or two, right? Population increased. So they will want to kill him. But now he's already a big man. Big guy. So let's say he's 8 feet or 9 feet. And you, okay, let's say the serpent, being a big guy, let's say all the serpent seed that came out from Cain's line, let's say they are 6.5 feet or 7 feet. And the Cain now is going higher. Maybe he's 9 feet. Now just imagine a person who is 9 feet tall and compare to a person who is 7 feet. 2 feet. Not only just in height, but also in size. Huh? What do you think is a challenge between one and one? Huh? And being that he's taller, he can get a pole, a spear. He can make a spear that's longer, right? And heavier, and he can carry it. But while you are a 7 feet tall person, he probably could have a spear 8 feet long or 9 feet long. He could have one that is 15 feet long. There's no way you could approach him. He could fight two off, three off, four off. Right? That's why they couldn't kill him. But when those guys says, all right, he's too big, they call 50 people. And when 50 people comes against him, what do you think he's going to do? Stay down. Stay, sit there and wait for them to come and say, hey, you know I'm a giant? You are talking to 50 people. And they can surround you and just throw the spear at you. You think you can hit all the spear away from you? When you see them coming, you will tell your wife and children, let's get going. Pack the bag and let's go. And he became a fugitive and a bigger one. Everywhere he stayed would be only temporary, because those other ones came too. He moved and he moved and he moved. That's how the prophecy was fulfilled. Simple understanding on this. God did not make him a fugitive. He did not make him a vagabond. God said, the ground is cursed because what you did to it. And because of that, you'll be a fugitive, right? Cain knew about it. He himself knew that he would be a fugitive. He knew that he's going to die. But God said, I'll give you a token. Don't worry about it. If anybody could kill you, I'll take vengeance for you, 74. A promise that God kept. That's why Cain did not die by the hand of a Canaanite or anybody who wanted to kill him for that reason. He died in some other way. So now when we look at this, you can see. That's why I always say, watch that mark. It begins right here in the book of Genesis. That mark traveled all the way with the trail of the serpent. Wherever the serpent trail goes, you will see that mark. That size. When I said about the mark, I'm asking you to look at the size. The mark of Cain goes down. Follow him until today, right here in the earth, in the world today. The mark is still around. Alright? So now in chapter 4, verse 16, here we see the descendant of Cain. And as I said, you all know this very well, that many of these people of Cain's, they were farmers. They were not shepherds or sheep herders or goat herd or cattle men. But they were mainly farmers. And later on, because of their ability, their intelligence, they look at matter, they can use matter, and they forge. And they can build cities. They were the first people to build cities. You know. Why do people build cities? Why? And the thing also, one thing you must understand, that when people start building cities, nobody wants to be a farmer. Many people want to live in the city. And so by the time that when more people live in the city, they have other form of trading. And then we find that the static line, though there was shepherd, alright, there's no farmer where they could barter trade. You know what barter trade is? Huh? Barter trading. With the Canaanite for vegetable, for maybe one jackfruit, for one lamb, or something like that. Barter trade. So since then, people don't plant anymore out there, and so, remember that land need to be cultivated, huh? Because the strength is gone. They need to be cultivated. So, certain people turn to farming also as well. You understand? It's still the farming. But the Canaanite people, they want to live in the city. More convenient. But the people who are static people, well, they live out there, not in the city. They're very comfortable living out there. That's why I always said, and I always believe this, when men build, men destroy. Look at what happened to the world. When they build something, they destroy. And it's so dangerous today to live in this world. It's become a very dangerous world we live in. Because one of these days, I don't know, maybe there is going to be a plane dropping from the sky. Because why? You know, America Aviation Authority say that now you cannot bring in your laptop, right, into the cabin anymore. You're going to check in to the cargo. Now, of course, they implemented from those countries. They feel that they are terrorist country. But if they start to pass law, all these things, they want people to rebel. So what is this about? Businessmen, we need the laptop. No, the laptop is a dangerous weapon. You don't believe me? One day you see, boom, that's one day after. See, we proved it, didn't we? Oh yeah, nobody believe it. 911. People think it's Osama. I always tell you, people think it's Osama. It's not Osama. Look into it carefully. It's always the conspiracy. That's why, if you ever watched, I don't know how many days, a TV series called Homeland. How many of you watch it? Follow that series. The latest series is interesting. Because these people who wrote it, they know what's going on out there. The president has no authority, actually. He's just a figurehead. And the people out there in CIA and NSA and all those people who suppose the security, counterintelligence. Oh yes, of course. That's not what... Look at Europe. Huh? And even look at religion today. What's going on in history to the Catholic Church? Conflict and corruption were there, right? They were even killing each other to be a pope. And here we are in the end time. Pentecostal and charismatic. What do people want? Manipulating money, fun, everything is money. Popularity. Live in the days of Brother Branham in the 50s and 60s. We didn't expect, you know, when I was in the 50s, 60s, I didn't expect this thing to be like this so bad. But I knew that when charismatic came in, I realized that charismatic is very dangerous. I was Pentecostal. When I heard about the charismatic, I said, wow, it's a new movement, neo-Pentecostalism. And the thing that they teach and the thing that they create, oh my, unscriptural, but people fought for it because they love it. It's all about emotion, socialism, socializing, you know? They like it. Like today, Facebook. Brother God, you have Facebook. I don't put my face on book. What is your Facebook? Facebook. Twitter. You know, sometimes they ask me to go and join. And I said, oh, no. You know how dangerous when you put your face on Facebook? And all the information you give it out? Go watch the movie, Snowden. I will tell you the truth. Watch Snowden become a hero. And I think he's my hero too. Because you know, there are certain things that people doesn't know. Because the world gets into a situation, people get more wicked. I watched in the beginning like this in the book of Genesis. The trail go all the way, not in just religion. Because you must understand that as much as Cain started off in a religious manner, later on, you know how his descendant came to be about, wanted to become a political figure. Look at the Catholic Church. Is it not true that the church is both political and religious? Yes. Right. And you're not supposed to mix religion with states. And so our government here is that if you have religion, whatever, your MP, your religion, don't bring that into the system. Keep your religion away from the political field. But look at Islam, for example. Look at how some of these extremists, they will take Islam and bring it into the system of running a country. They want Sharia law. Look at Boko Haram in Nigeria. No, if think about it, here in Singapore we have Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, Confucianist, Catholic, whatever. But if every one of us, every religious group want to bring their religious law into Singapore and run it, how could it be? There's conflict, wouldn't you think so? Yes. That's why, how could you bring Syrian law into Singapore and run it? My people are not Muslim. If your country are all totally Muslim, yes, you use it. Like Israel, in those days, Their law is under God's law, right? It doesn't apply to other nations. If any nation want to be proselyte into the nation of Israel, then they must be circumcised. That's God's law. God enforces it on you. You know. But other countries that are surrounding Israel at that time, when they attack Israel, what happened? They pay tax to them, only that they intermarried with them and they worship their God, they are forced to worship. Like Solomon. He married so many women or strange women from different nations, and the wife says, you know, build me a shrine to my God or gods or goddesses. That's where the trap is. We need to separate our faith, the law of God, or the word of God, separate from the nation. Do you understand? That's why, for example, like this, we know about homosexuality. God condemns it, right? Is it not true?
Yes.
But when you have a friend who is homosexual, don't go and condemn him, you know? You know what I'm saying? You don't go and start to judge him, you know? You cannot use the Bible. The Bible says, no, homosexual, you know. What has it got to do with him? Because he's not a Christian. Maybe if you're a witness to him, witness to him the gospel first, don't talk about homosexuality. Always place gospel first. And not taking the law of God and knock everybody on the head with the law of God. Like the extreme Muslim will take the Sharia law and knock everybody on the head. You know. And whatever religion people may have. That's a real problem. Like in India today. A problem. The Muslim who eats beef, they are a butcher. No, they can't even sell. They can't even know. They lost their job. Because the law is passed. How you come? You affect people like this. The Bible said, choose you this day whom you will serve. God never forced it upon the people. Do you see that? Yes. Because now, God gave people the freedom. But when the Lord Jesus comes and set up His kingdom on this earth, it'll be different. But before He does that, that's the reason why God said, I will sanctify my name. And that's when the war in Ezekiel 38 and 39 will show. How that the world had condemned the Jew. How that the world had condemned Christians because they are associated with the Jew. And the Jews, like we already studied on Friday, about the typical case of, you know, how God fight for Israel. The war that is coming, Israel will not be fighting for themselves. God said, I'll fight for you. I will sanctify my own name. That's what will happen. So either the Bible is real, it's true, or the Bible is false. And so we see the descendant of Cain now. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. Well, where is the east of Eden? Well, east of Eden is the Garden of Eden. And the Garden of Eden is considered part of Eden. So it's further out. Saudi Arabia side going eastward. But at that time, of course, there was no Saudi Arabia. Right? Do you remember? It doesn't exist because it was just a piece of big land. It's only after the flood that we get a change. And Cain knew his wife, and they conceived. And she conceived and died in a bare city and called the name of the city after the name of his son. Now remember, Cain knew his wife. Now, we know the denomination. Try to figure out where did Cain get his wife. Some say, yeah, they know his half-sister. Some say, could not be. There must be other, you know, race of people. Because a brother cannot marry a sister. But they did not realize the genetic issue at that time. Huh? It's only later when the hybriding becomes so much, too much hybriding and inbreeding, that after the flood, that God's right, the law came about that you can no longer marry someone next to you, near you, next of kin. That's why even now, if someone wants to marry someone who's near distant kinship, but on the mother's side, one on the father's side, they can go for a blood test. Right? In those days, they do that, they can get into what you call children that is abnormal, born defective. You see? And all because of sin. So when you want to marry someone, let me give you advice. If your IQs are high, don't marry a woman with a high IQ like you. You might have a problem with a child. Oh yes. That's what happened over in Singapore. I know of a neurosurgeon. Marry another one. High IQ. The children are all born mental problem. Two of them, I think. You see. So you need to have a balance. A yin and yang. You cannot, yang cannot marry yang. Yin cannot marry yin. That's all. You got it? You see. Because the jin, only problem. And Adina was born Ira. And began Mahu Jaya. And Mahu Yael. Okay. Begat Matusael. And Matusael begat Lamech. And Lamech is the last of this line from Cain. These are all pure lines of the Cainites. And now we have Lamech in verse 9. And Lamech took unto him two wives. And I always say, when God, I have always wondered, why on earth did God give this detail about this wife and this child, and mention the name and their career, you know, and their job, because the clue is there. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of one was Adah, and the name of the other was Zillah. Adah by Jobor, and he was the father of such as dwell in tent and such as have cattle. So why do you bother to say that? You understand? But there's a clue. And his brother's name was Juba, and he was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah also bare Tubakin, an instructor of every artifact in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubakin was Naama. Why mention the name of a sister? Unless she plays a part in history of mankind. That's why the clue was given to us. So Lamech was the last of the pure Kenite. He had the pure blood or Kenite blood. Then when he married two women, the first one was Adah, the second was Jobah. Jobah Zillah. And Adah, the first wife, bare Jobah. He was father of such a dwelling tent and such a cattle. That tells us, give us an understanding that Adah was a Setite. People say, just from that one verse? No, what about the other verse? It says, and his brother's name was Juba. He was father of such as handle the harp and organ. Lamech, Adah, two sons, Jobah, Juba. Jobah was the first one. Okay? He took to being a cattleman. That's what it says, right? Verse 20. Such that have cattle. He dwells in tent. Simple. Okay? And I guess he doesn't interested to go to the city anyway. And then his brother's name was Juba, which he was a father of all, such handled the harp and organ. So his other brother, who is not even interested in cattle, but he likes all these metallic things, organ. So it shows that he got that gene from his father, Lamech, where Jobah got his more of his gene from the mother. But because that Jobah was the firstborn, the lineage stops. That's why there's no more listing under Lamech's name. And then his second wife, Zillah, back to my king and instruct of every artifact in the brass of iron. Now she's the second wife. It's not important. But at least it tells us even that the wife was a Canaanite. Because the son that was born to Bar-Cain was very much attached to the brass and iron, metallic, you know, artifacts. And then he named his sister Naamah. Who is Naamah? The Bible doesn't put the name, God doesn't put the name, I mean unnecessary account, just to make the Bible thicker. Huh? No. In fact, the Bible is very compact. If God wants to give details, I tell you, I don't know how big this, I think the Bible will be carrying in a big haversack. Backpack. Yes. You see, God gave enough detail. And that's why the details in the book Old Testament, prophets and Moses, the Pharisees can study them, look at them. If they do it diligently, they would have recognized the Messiah. But you know why they didn't recognize Messiah? Because by the time that Jesus came, they already have got themselves into all these traditions. They were handed down. Huh? Yes. Imagine the damnation. They were all taken up to Assyria. In a strange land that's not theirs. They were captive. Huh? And so they were taught, there were no prophet at that time when they were up there in the Syria, lost up there. You know, they were made captive. Yeah, we see a prophet go prophesy from outside of the city, for outside of the captivity. And what about those that were caught up there in Babylon? They're mixed with all the Babylonians' teaching and all that stuff. And so they have all the little they have. And then, of course, the little doctrine that they have, like the denomination churches today. The little doctrine that they have. They believe in one God. That's 3%. Jesus was born of Virgin Mary. We all know that, right? Just on the cross. For your sin, for my sin. Right? Baptized. In the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Okay, yes. Jesus is coming very soon. Right? God is multi-millionaire, you must be a millionaire, you must be rich too, believe. Give and it will be given unto you. So they're all the simple teaching. Correct. But you know, the more as year passes by, because in denomination, when they are trapped in the system, do you know why God sent Brother Branham in the first place? In the first place, back in the 20th century, the beginning, 1906, 1909, God poured out the Holy Spirit. He didn't choose anybody. Huh? All those people who were seeking for the Lord, they were common people. Farmer, mechanic, common people working. They were all from different churches. But they know each other. They want to come together and pray. They pray. How come the church has no revival? How come the church is dead? They pray in the garage. They pray in the warehouse. I don't know for how long that was. I forgot. You can read the book and buy it and read it. It's still available. Very interesting little booklet. It's called They Spoke with Other Tongues. And the account of what happened. And they were coming together and they pray and they pray and they pray. And God one day showed all of them the book of Acts to study. That's why even Brother Jonathan was telling me, Brother Gunn, I dreamt of you. And then you know you were studying the Bible so intensely. And you were looking into the book of Acts. And then I was standing there looking, you were looking at the book, and he told the Lord, said, Lord, this thing going to happen soon. This must be fulfilled. This must be fulfilled. He said, I woke up, I don't know what was. Said, do you know what it was? I said, of course not me, it's your dream. I know there's something that's about the book of Acts, because you know we're coming to that place where we're going to have a revival. You see? So you just imagine denomination. When these people come together, they do talk about it anymore. There might be a different Baptist background, Methodist, whatever, but they have something in common. They study. And look at the book of Acts, one day, the man who was a leader said, let me take a short trip. And I come back in the next week or two. I want to ask you some question about the book of Acts. Just study the book of Acts. When he came back, he asked them, have you ever read the book of Acts? I said, yes. What do you find in the book of Acts? That's one thing we know. All of them said, they spoke with other tongues. And the man said, yeah, that's what I noticed. And then one of the sisters said, they lay hands. And then she asked them to lay hand on her. So they put a hand on her and they pray. She starts speaking in other tongues. And everyone that were affected, they began also to begin to speak other tongues and see visions and dream later on. And oh, they claim the power of God. They go out there with healing and all this and faith. And so Pentecost started. 13 years later, Pentecostal experience became Pentecostalism. BAW, the UPC, the Nothing Pilgrim, the Examinists of God, all start to form because men wanted to be the leader. I'm the big guy, I'm the big guy. The all rest are small guys. So that's what happened. Isn't it true what happened at that message? The German want to be a leader, the Belgian want to be a leader, up there in America too, down there in New Zealand as well. In Mississippi, there is one who claimed to have the mentor as well. Over there in Kenya, so many places. And people out there are claiming the Bergan claim to be the messenger. Back in 1970, I wrote that book. There is no Elisha. And now I hit out again these people claiming that there's going to be an Elisha or Joshua one-man ministry after Brother Bram. There's no such a thing. And they were spread all these lies. They were spreading all these lies all the way. Well, I don't know how he reached India, he reached Africa. I said, Brother Nice was telling me, this guy came in and said, Brother Gunn claimed to be a dead messenger. What did Brother Gunn say that? What did his book ever say that? But so and so said, that's what you people are following. Liars. We have a lot of idiots for preachers. Yes, they are. What did the Bible talk about? Fools. Thou fools this day, their soul be required of you. You know what a fool is? There are two words for fool. One of them is a bad one that we shouldn't use. That's the way that Greek and Hebrew use it. A fool here means people are foolish. God has given us the mind, brain here, and the word to understand, but we don't. We listen to all sorts of people telling lies. That's why I warned the brother here in Singapore. I told Brother Nice to warn him anyway. Yes? I met him one day, I said, you shouldn't be doing it, be careful. But there was another one who came up to me and called me up personally, talked to me about some issue. He said, Brother, I'll apologize. I said, what have you done? So, because I believe what that brother was telling me about you. And later on, he did something. I said, I want to find out from you why he left your church. You know, and he got into the same trick as what the man did to me. Brother, this is a time that we should be honest, sincere. Look at ourselves. This is not a time to play church. I'm serious though. My heart cries out. Because of the situation that's in the world. Not in just the killing and dying out there in the world, but the people in the end time message. We people who have the truth and we act like fools. Like having no light, no direction. We have a light that the prophet of God called us to come back to. I was in a denomination, I thought I have it, I have nothing. Until the torch bearer, the messenger with that torch, remember? That fire brand in his hand. Behold, he cometh, come out to meet him. That's feasting. That's a wedding going on. That's a marriage going on. When you have marriage, there's always lights up there. Because there's party going on. We are in that light, feasting in the Word of God. That's the light here. Remember this. That serpent seed spirit is still around. So now we understand here. Let's go quickly and close this. Verse 23. Lamech said to his wife, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. Ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech. For I have slain a man to my wounding, a young man to my hurt. If Cain be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. He is trying to say that, you know, Cain killed Abel out of anger. But me, Lamech, I didn't. And of course, this was some kind of a record here that a lot of rabbis come up with their own version. You know. But we don't want to go into it, because it was, what story was supposed to be that Lamech was not, his eyesight was not very clear. Went out hunting with his son Tubal-Cain. You know, and Tubal-Cain spots some movement out there in the bush, and told his father, there's an animal there. So he took his bow, he shoot, and that creature fell. So they went and looked at it, and that's when the next said, oh! And he lamented, and then Tubal-Cain was standing in front of him. He just slapped, pop, crushed the head of his son. So he killed his son. I mean, that's just one of the stories. I don't know how true that is. No, why he shot? Because the person who he shot dead was Cain. And the reason why the son said that there was a wild animal there, because he has a horn. Cain has a horn. You know, all kinds of stories. Can you disappear when you believe it? Alright, because we do not know what's happening here, because we only go into the background of the traditions of the, you know, the Hebrew people, of what they think their rabbis said that they got it from somebody, handed down, and so on. Alright, so we don't have to worry about that. Anyway, the whole thing is that this descendant ends with Lamech. So, what happened when it ends with Lamech? Jobah, which is the firstborn, was part of Cain's blood and part of ascetic blood. So now, this line coming down, there's no more pure. Okay? Alright. So he says here in the next verse, when he finds, and Adam knew his father again and begat a son and called his name Seth. For God said, she have appointed me another seed instead of Abel whom Cain slew. And to Seth to him was also born a son, and he called his name Enos. That man began to call upon the name of the Lord. We'll just close here and continue next week, because you want to follow that line slowly to see how that spirit and that seed, alright, move all the way to our time. Look at the trail. Alright. And don't forget this. You know what a trail is? Interestingly, when you keep dogs, how many of you keep dogs besides some brother Henry and George? How many of you kept dogs in your home? You have one? Anybody else? You have before? No? Okay. If you have kept dogs and you have taken dogs as for a walk, you know how dogs behave. Especially one time when I have one dog that is, Kenny was a peasant hound. Is it not a hound? A beagle, sorry. It's a beagle. And I used. And I love him. We take him out for a walk. I took him for a walk. You know, their nose never stops. He whispers to me, stop. And I say, what are you doing? Takes a moment, boom, he run. After chase, he goes to some place. You know what they do? He's marking the land, you know what I mean? When the trail of the serpent, you follow the trail, what are you following? In simplicity, it's four-letter word, S-H-I-T. Yes. It follows the shit or the feces or the defecation or the poo, whatever you want to use the word. That's what the you're following the trail. Everywhere it goes, everywhere that serpent moves, the trail of the serpent moves, not like dog, you know, pass the urine, right? That's what they do. But for the serpent, that's what they do. They put a little bit of a poo there and you're following it. And that's why you want to follow that. You can see everywhere that it, 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 it creates some problem, there will be a history and an account of that trail. And it's never a good thing, it smells bad. Right? That's what we are following. And that's why it's very interesting. If everybody wants to draw a chart of the trail of the serpent with the serpent, put some proof behind. And that's where it goes. But the Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace. For what we have received from you, Lord. We live in a world that is fast closing to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Truly, the world is in a mess. It's a cesspool now, Father. A political unrest, religious unrest, financial turmoil, and the armies are on the march. Lord, all that filth that we see, all started back in the garden and outside of the Garden of Eden when Cain killed Abel. And from that time on, Lord, wherever he goes, being a fugitive and a vagabond, he'll have a trail of all the filth, O Lord, the things that happened in his lifetime among his people. We know that, Lord, history, whatever happened that is that's in history, Father, we know history tends to repeat itself. And we are seeing it today, Lord. We pray, Father, your children that are yours, ordained unto the sonship, we pray, Father, Lord, that every one of them who saw the light all these years now will continue, Lord, to look at that light and follow the trail of that light. Keeping away from traditions, keeping away, O Lord, from all this falsehood that is fast being dumb like feces, Lord, in many end-time message churches. Lots of lies, lots of things being said, O Lord, against one another. And we know this to be so too, Father, because our Lord Jesus Christ mentioned about it in the book of Matthew 24. Yes, Lord, we had a time when even a brother will kill another brother because they think that they are doing God a favor, doing God a service. Help us, O Lord, to be simple, honest, and sincere, O Lord, before you in our walk with you, Father. And bless this day, Lord. Bless the rest of this day. We commit all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.